Thank you. Morning.
Good morning.
Hope everybody's doing well today as the mornings become a little crisper and the evenings a little bit cooler as well. Looks like we might be starting to turn the corner. So now that I've said that, for all of you all who just dearly love summer, hang on. And the reason I say hang on is because it'll probably be back in the 90s sometime this week. Thank you. Is it calling for that? Wednesday. See, I knew it would happen if I would say something about it. So just remember these days because it'll jump back up. Welcome to North Carolina. You know, it could be you could have your jacket on in the morning and, you know, shorts and T-shirt by the afternoon. So but at any rate, we're glad to have you with us today in the house of the Lord at Central Baptist Church, Oak Ridge, North Carolina. Give somebody a wave and a smile. And I mean a good one. I mean, make people look. Look like you're happy to be here. If you're part of our online audience that's viewing this morning, be sure to say hello or give a hand wave or an emoji or something like that to Dr. Cazito. Put something out there that's going to make him do a little bit of study and work. Give him an emoji he'll have to go find. But as always, I want to say this. I really appreciate Dr. John back there who takes care of and interacts with our online audience, those that are joining us. We want you to feel a part of our family as well. Please, if you have the occasion, stop by and visit with us. We'd love to put names with faces, but we appreciate you joining us today as well. So we're glad to have this opportunity to come together. As always, I've said before, you know, the week has been a busy week, and I'm sure that you have a busy week coming up this week. But you know, as we have come in today, I think if you're like a lot of us, I mean, I know the band, you know, you guys are wanting to serve the Lord in the greatest capacity. And so many times what we do is we can get so busy trying to serve that we forget to worship. You ever been there? You know, sometimes you can be so busy in serving that you don't worship. I want to caution us today. Let's not do that. Let's serve and serve well, but let's make sure that we're worshiping today. You know, sometimes even I have to get up here and go, okay, let's change gears and let's get ourselves together. Let's get our hearts in order and get it right. And we can do that as we worship the Lord through song that is going to be coming up here shortly. Brad is going to come lead us. And we look forward to having a wonderful opportunity today to meet our Lord face to face right here and to get the message that He has for us. So let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come into Your house today, Lord, we do so with anticipation. Father, we expect to meet You here today in this place, and we know that Your word tells us where two or three are gathered in Your name, there You are in the midst. So Lord, we know that You're here. We know that You want to speak to us. Lord, we pray that as we've been studying some in Revelation, that You would give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to us. May our focus be upon You today, that we would hear the tailor-made message for each and every one of us. And then, Lord, I pray that where action needs to be taken, that You would give us the courage to be able to take the action and take the steps that You would like for us to take. And, Father, as always, we pray that if there is one within the sound of My voice that does not know You as Savior, that today truly would be the day that they would give their life to You and start afresh with hope and with joy. Lord, we look so forward to the day when we get to see You, but Lord, You've also given us an opportunity to have joy as we go through this life, and may the joy of the Lord truly be our strength today as we worship, as we ask this in Christ's name, amen.
Good morning, what a crisp morning today. If you would, I'm just so glad to have the band and the choir. It's a lovely day for music in our church. If you would, please turn with me to hymn number 208, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. Please stand with me as we sing.
Thank you.
It's hymn number 3, and it may be new to many or most, and some of you will know, but it's Worthy of Worship. So we're going to have the choir sing the first verse, and then I'll turn around, we'll sing verse 2 and 3. Worthy of Worship.
Like that. That was new, but I really enjoyed that. We appreciate that, Brad and the choir. Just before we get to our message today, I just want to remind folks that next Sunday we will be taking the North Carolina missions offering. Now, a lot of times, you know, people sit back and they go, "Well, we don't really know, what these things do." There are so many things that this offering goes to. One of the big things is a disaster recovery through North Carolina. And man, anytime something happens
folks call North Carolina. I'd mentioned this before, but one of the feeding units that we have was featured on the, I think, the History Channel's Modern Marvels. I may have missed that, but it's considered the world's largest feeding truck, and they can prepare and serve over 30,000 meals a day. But it takes volunteers. It takes you and I to be able to take these things and make them work. There's church planting. There are so many things that are going on that the North Carolina Missions offering actually goes toward. And we try to keep people up to speed with what it's used for. Now, one of the things that we normally do through these times is we will show you some of the videos, the promotional type material that we get. Well, I'm going to take that opportunity to do that here in just a second. But the thing that's going to be a little bit different this time is that you're going to be hearing from our local people. You're going to hear from our associational mission strategist as well as one of our Piedmont Baptist associational pastors. So without further ado, we're gonna go ahead and play that video for you, and you can hear from some of our guys here about what the North Carolina missions offering actually does and goes for.
Hey, I'm Michael Barrett. It's a joy again to partner with you and the Piedmont Baptist Association. Thank you for being one of our churches that helps us be on mission to reach the lostness across our state and to the ends of the earth. I want to challenge you with our North Carolina Missions offering coming up this month of September. We were 12th among 80 associations last year. I believe we can do better, and the reason is because of the importance of that offering. It promotes church planting, it promotes Baptist-owned missions, it again helps our churches touch the world, and especially North Carolina, with the love of Jesus Christ. And so I want to ask you to hear the heart of other pastors and join us in doing our best to give and to care and to love in Jesus' name.
Hi, I'm Daniel Dickard, pastor of Friendly Avenue Baptist Church in Greensboro, North Carolina. You may be wondering, how has the Piedmont Baptist Association partnered with Baptist on Mission in North Carolina? North Carolina Baptists have planted 33 churches this year, and the Piedmont Baptist Association has planted 5 of them. That's really exciting. 20% of the missionaries on the mission field through the IMB are from North Carolina. We have 19 ministries through Baptist on Mission. Our ministry and partnerships in Ukraine have been a major point of emphasis through the PBA, and North Carolina Baptists have responded to the disaster relief efforts in Kentucky. We have 3 mission camps that continue to help the rebuild process in disasters throughout North Carolina and beyond.
Hi, I'm Kelly Buller, pastor of First Baptist Church Summerfield, one of your sister churches right here in the PBA. Our church is proud to participate in giving to this year's North Carolina Missions offering. The theme for this offering is Relief for Today and Hope for Tomorrow. Our church has partnered with North Carolina Baptist through disaster relief efforts in sending teams to various locations, providing relief in times of crisis and hope through the gospel of Jesus Christ. During the month of September, we have an opportunity to give to this very special missions offering. I realize that these are difficult days financially for many in our congregations. However, in spite of this, God has blessed us beyond measure. Let us give sacrificially to support the North Carolina Mission offering, because together we can provide relief for today and hope for tomorrow.
So next week, we will actually be receiving that offering. You will see envelopes that will state the North Carolina Baptist Missions offering. As always, I say, please don't take away from your tithe to do that, because even though it's important here as well. We've got lots of ministry that's taking place that's going on right here in Central Baptist Church as well. So next week, North Carolina Missions offering, be praying about what it is that God would have for each and every one of us to do in participating in that. If you have your Bible this morning, go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to the book of Exodus, chapter 17. The book of Exodus in chapter 17. It's really interesting that that some people, how many of you all would consider yourself to be a little on the hard-headed side when it comes to learning things? Yeah, when you grew up, You know, it's ironic how that happens. Some people learn real quick. Some people learn through pain. Some people learn and they'll watch what other people do and they'll stay away from it. You know, they're like, ooh, I saw what happened there. I think I'll stay away from that. Well, sometimes people just are hard-headed and they don't learn. Sometimes, you know, they pull the 900-pound television set off of the TV tray on their head four or five times before they learn. Some of you out there who I just looked at resemble that remark. You've been there and you've done that. Well, there are lessons that God wants us to learn as His children. There were lessons back through the Old Testament and through the Exodus that He wanted His children to learn and wanted them to know. Now, it's interesting about a lesson because when you learn a lesson and when you really grasp it, you will continue to go in that direction. But sometimes we get tripped up. Sometimes we stumble across and we tend to revert back to what we had done before. Sometimes we will revert back to things that have failed us over and over in the past. Why is it that we do that? For each and every one of us, that could be a completely different reason. Sometimes people will sit back and go, well, you know, I thought I could do better this time doing it my way instead of God's way. And most of us have learned 100% of the time that's not true. It doesn't happen that way. But here's something interesting, and the choir sang about it. God wants to set us free. Free. You know, right now, without Christ, any person on the face of this planet is in the bondage of sin. You know, the Lord said this, you're either serving me or you're serving old Satan, one of the two. There is no middle ground. There's no part-time servant of God and part-time servant of Satan and evil. He said, you're either for me or you're against me. Now, remember just a couple of weeks ago, it might have been last Sunday, that we talked about one of the churches in Asia Minor that he said, yeah, you're lukewarm, and because you're lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. He said, he even went on to say, I would rather you be hot or cold. Yeah, I've said before, I think that God even respects somebody who says, nope, not doing it. He respects them more than somebody who rides the fence. He will even respect the worst non-Christian in the world because they will at least stand on what it is that they believe. Isn't that not what he said? He said, I would rather you be hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm, I will spew you out of my mouth. Now see, what the Lord wants to do is through Christ, he wants to bring those freedoms. And here's one of the things that gets personal with each and every one of us, because we get in trouble, don't we? How many of y'all have ever gotten in trouble with the Lord? The rest of you all are not honest today, and you need to repent, because we've all been there. We've been in trouble with the Lord. We've gone away we shouldn't go. And because he loves us, he chastens us. You know what that's a fancy word for? Chastens us is a fancy word for he's not going to let us get away with it. He comes after us because he loves us and because he cares about us. And when we get in trouble, here's something that you have to know. Now be sure to hear this. When you're in trouble, God cares. Because if you hadn't been in trouble in the past, you're going to be in trouble in the future. And if you have been in trouble in the past, you're going to be in trouble in the future again. Amen? So understand this, that when you get in trouble, God cares. I can't tell you how many times through my ministry that people have said to me before, well, God just doesn't care. I said, that's not true. God does care. He cares deeply. He cares for us enough to not let us get away with things that are called sin. He cares enough to paddle our behind when our behind needs paddling, right? You know, how many times has somebody said, or maybe a child said, well, I'll tell you one thing, my parents just don't love me because they discipline me. That is the complete opposite of being true. And when they've said to you before, this is going to hurt me more than it's going to hurt you, I know we sat back and said, I don't think so, but when you've been a parent, you understand what that means. It's not something that you want to do, but it is something that is critical that you have to do so that you can raise children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you can raise them not to be brats. Is that a biblical word? Brats? I mean, you can see the difference today, can't you? Everybody's quiet. They're like, yeah, you can see it. You don't have to tell me. We're of a different generation when it comes to that. But God cares. And God will send you help in the middle of your need. He'll come after you, but he will also help you. He will guide you to where there's freedom in Christ. He will guide you. Remember, what did I say the choir just sang about a little while ago? Where there's freedom in the Lord. God also provides, and you ready for this? When the way seems impossible. See, that's when God really does his greatest thing. When you're sitting there going, there is absolutely no way out of this. There is absolutely no way that we can go forward. And you know what? That's what most of the time, that's when we turn to God and say, Lord, I'm in trouble. Have you ever noticed that? We get to the point of what I call critical mass before we call on God. And we're like, God, I can't do anything else. That's it. God's like, thank you. Thank me. Thank God you have finally reached the end of your rope, because now what that means is that I can take this situation and do something with it. Now that you have taken your hands off of it, now that you see you are incapable, I am capable. So when we look at what God wants to do, in this passage we're going to look at, we're just going to look at a few verses this morning, we see God's people in trouble again. You notice that word comes up often, again. That means we're back someplace before, and God's people were in trouble. Look with me, if you would, Exodus chapter 17, and we're going to begin reading with verse 1. It says, so Moses cried out to the Lord, saying, what shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. Now, I want to pause right there for just a moment. This is obviously the point of the Exodus, where God is leading his children out of Egypt, heading to the promised land, and along the way, they have been hard-headed. I can use that word, can I? That's knuckleheads. A lot like we are at times. They were hard-headed. So now God, I mean, I want you to think back for just a moment, for those of you who are familiar with the story of the Exodus, all of the things that God did to liberate Israel from Egypt. All of the times that Moses had to go to Pharaoh and say, let God's people go. All of the miracles, the plagues, all of the things, the wrath that God brought down on Egypt to get their attention. You keep thinking this. So now they're finally out. They're doing their own thing. They were rejoicing. They said, free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. I'm not having to make brick anymore. I get to worship the Lord. He's leading us to the land that flows with milk and honey. As they were driving away in their U-Haul, they were grinning like a mule eating briars. Everything was good, and everything was right. And then trouble arose. Sound familiar? Those days that were better days. And now, they have essentially turned on Moses. The one that they were sitting there going, oh, Moses is the great guy. He's led us out of here. He's the one who faced Pharaoh. He's the one who did all this stuff. Thank you, Moses. You're a good old boy. Now here, notice what it says in the latter part of verse 4. What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. The same guy that they were praising a few breaths earlier is the guy that now they want to kill. Have you ever noticed that what happened? We get comfortable where we are, don't we? We like comfort. Now, you've heard me use this illustration before. I said they call that chair a lazy boy for a reason. They don't call it a worker boy. They don't call it a get-up-and-go boy. They call it a lazy boy because you get in it and you become lazy. Amen. I have one myself, and I love it. But see, we can get that way. We get comfortable where we are. Where are my people who hate change? Come on, be honest. It blows your mind. You get nervous, your stomach gets upset. There are people who are like that. Now, where are my people who love change? We got less of those around. But you know what? There's a lot of people who I know that really like change. The people who really like change scare the people who don't like change. You worry about them. And the reason you worry about them is because they're itching to change and they want to drag you with them and you don't want to go. Right? All right, so now you got to remember, here is Israel in the middle of change. It's good change. It's change that they want. We can go and we can worship freely. We don't have to be slaves anymore. But when resistance comes, and Paul's right here, because let me make you a promise. Resistance will always come. Not maybe, it will always come. And when it came in this particular situation, they started to get mad. Guess what they started to do? They started to think about what they had instead of what God wanted for them. Yeah, there were times that in the story of the Exodus that when they went to Moses, you know what they said to him? Matter of fact, here is one of the quotes. He said, some of the people said to Moses, were there not enough graves for us back in Egypt? You know what that meant? That meant that they were saying, we would have been better off to have stayed in Egypt and died there as slaves than to be out here and going to starve to death in the wilderness. Satan will always make where you've come from look better than where he wants you to, where God wants you to go. Always. Not sometimes. Always. Moses now has gotten to the point where these people have had a meeting with him. They've called a meeting. And they're sitting there with their stones going, we need to talk to you. And you can tell by the tone of the voice, you can tell by everything, the same guy that they're praising a little bit earlier, they want to kill him. Now, I know that some of y'all have been upset with me before, but none of y'all have showed up with guns and clubs and knives. That's a good thing. They want to kill this guy. They were praising him a little while ago. Go back to verse 5. Verse 4, he's going to God, and he said, look, man, we got a problem. These people want to kill me. Verse 5 says, and the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Now, it's very interesting what he said there. He said, get some of the elders. Get some of the people who are the leaders among the people. Get the ones that have influence among the people. He said, gather them together, he said, because those are the people that everybody else is turning to anyway. He said, you know what, Moses, a lot of the people hadn't come and talked to you. They're talking to all these other people that they respect within the crowd. And God said, you get those people. And he said, now you take that rod, and you got to remember, they have watched the situation of the rod in Moses' hand, right? See, you got to remember that rod stood for the presence of God with Israel. You got to remember that they were there when Moses, God told him to stand up there and hold the rod up and the waters parted. They understood what that rod was and understood what that rod meant. So now the Lord is telling him, he says, you go out before the people, grab you some of the elders. The reason that he wanted the elders was because so that the elders could go back and tell those who were talking about the situation behind what was taking place what it was really like, what they should do. See, Moses was a typical preacher. A lot of people don't tell the preacher, they'll tell everybody else. And he said, get them elders, I get it. And he says, and you go, take the rod with you. Remember the one that you struck the river with. Now, verse 6 says this. In verse 6, he says, behold, this is God talking. I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the contention of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you that it comes to life in our hearts. And Lord, your Holy Spirit is bringing it to life within us today. Help us, Father, to hear the word that you have for each of us. Lord, I pray that you would be with this, your servant, this morning, that you would truly be lifted up. And Lord, that as all men see you, that you will they will be drawn to you and they won't be able to turn away from you. Lord, help us make adjustments where they're needed. Lord, reach out for those that are lost as we know that you are. And Lord, I pray that today they would have the courage to take that step in giving their life to you, that they might have life everlasting with you. So Lord, continue to bless our time. Bless your word as we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, what happened and what there was a crisis that created the complaint. Isn't that what always happens? What was the crisis? Does anybody remember what the crisis was? Now, if you don't, you need to go back to vacation Bible school. What was the crisis? They didn't have no water. And now you got to remember, this was not a small crowd. It is estimated that we are talking between 2 and 3 million people. Can you fathom that? And I want you to get that in your mind, because it really makes things make a whole lot more sense. 3 million people, that is greater than the population of Greensboro. So you can imagine, all of these are basically, these folks are nomads now. They have left town. Could you imagine a 3 million people exodus from a place? Remember, the place was Egypt. And they're just tickled to death as they leave. Then they realize something. They get out there and they're going, "Oh, this is great. I love it. I'm getting a little thirsty. You got some water?" "Nah, we used all that up in the first part of the journey." "What are we going to do now? There ain't no wells out here." "I got it. Here's what we'll do. Let's get mad at Moses. Let's get mad at God. Because here's the thing. We've got to blame somebody." Isn't that what our generation does? We have to blame somebody for our issues. We are the generation that will not own our own mistakes. Everything is somebody else's fault. You know, I said before, particularly in counseling, I just want that person to come in and, you know, for counseling that says, "Preacher, I just want to let you know something. My mama and daddy were great to me. My spouse is great at home. My kids are great. My job's great. I'm just a flop. It's all my fault." You know what I could say? Our work is done here. See, the first thing you have to do is own your stuff. That's a biblical word, stuff. That's anything that is sin. That's anything that's out of the way. You need to own it. Now, these people are sitting back going, "Well, it's not my fault. I wasn't the one who had the plan. So Moses is the guy who's leading us. He's obviously the guy that had the plan. And his planning was just not good, because we're all thirsty and there is no water out here." Do you think God knew that when they left and when they got to that point? The answer is absolutely yes. You see, we want God to give us the roadmap, you know, from A to Z, and God never does that. Never. Did you hear me? God never does that. You know why? Because what we do is we have this idea. If God said, "Roy, here's the plan from A to Z," you know what Roy would do? Roy would say, "Well, Lord, I think we could tweak over here at about H, I, and J. If we did this a little bit different," and the Lord's like, no. God wants us to follow him one step at a time, one day at a time, and sometimes you don't get information until you need information. You are on a need-to-know basis. How many people does that drive crazy? You want, come on now. Y'all sitting out there acting like, oh, no, that's not. Oh, yes, you are. I want to know how this is going to go. I want to know step one through the final step. And I want it to look that way. To see, remember, what happens is some of you all in here, when the plan gets adjusted, you freak out. That's not the plan. How many of y'all freak out like that? You are a list-making person, and if it's not on that list, it drives you nuts. I mean, if you're driving down the road and all of a sudden there is a detour sign, your blood pressure goes up. The road's closed. Everything goes through your mind. And there's a big orange arrow going, detour. Let me just inject something for all of you road warriors. What that means is turn that way. And then generally what happens, I have to say generally because generally when you have to make your next turn, there'll be another gigantic orange arrow that tells you to turn that way. And eventually, if you follow all the turns, you're going to be back on track, right? Let me make you a promise. God will make the detour signs in your life. And all God's people who've had the detour said, but you know why he's making the detours? Because you're heading in the wrong direction if you don't obey the sign. Any of y'all ever decided that you were going to disobey the detour sign? I have. I said, I got this. No problem. Oh, yes. Problem. See, there wasn't nobody working there. Don't get me wrong. I didn't go plowing through a bunch of construction workers, but I figured, hey, they're done for the day. I think I could get through there. No, not a good idea. Doesn't work. God doesn't want you to do that. God is putting up these detour signs. And here's the whole incidents in this situation along the way. God knew they were going to not have water. But you know what else God knew? God knew who could provide them water. Did you notice that not a one of them, we don't read in this passage anywhere where any of them said, Lord, we're thirsty. Now, I know some of you wiseacres out there are going to sit back and say, well, they couldn't do that because that was before Jesus, and that was before the Holy Spirit was given and all that. So they went where they could go. And you're right. But they didn't go and say, Moses, we're thirsty. What are you going to call on God? Get a hold of God to see what he's going to do? No, they showed up to stone the man. What is our attitude in the middle of circumstances and situations? They go to Moses. Moses goes exactly where he needs to go. He goes to God and he's like, we got a problem. They're getting ready to stone me. They're thirsty. God said, I get it. I know where they are. I know what's taking place. I know what's going on. And here's what I want you. I want you to get those elders. Do you realize those were also the people who were leaders? Those were the people who needed to see what God was going to do, to see God's faithfulness, to be able to pass that faithfulness along to those that respected the leadership of those elders. So Moses gets this small group together. And he goes up, and it says in verse 6, behold, I will stand before you there on the rock of Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did in the sight of the elders. Now, when I was younger, I would try some crazy things. For my own. Not crazy like that. Don't y'all get too far on that. But one of the things I did one time was after reading this story, you know what I did? I went out and I thought, I'm going to see if I can wring out some rocks. Y'all like that because y'all know what wring out means, right? If I'm a country boy. Yeah, you wring out the washcloth. Close to, you get the water out. So I've picked up some rocks and squeezed them before to see if I could get water out of them. Have you ever done that? No. Now, I'm the only crazy one there. But last time I checked, I broke rocks open, and I have yet to break a rock open and have to go get the mop in the bucket to clean up what was left. So if you hadn't tried, take my word for it, I broke a lot of rocks. Never have I had to clean up a watery mess afterwards. That's impossible, isn't it? We would think in our hearts and our minds, it's impossible. You don't get water from rocks unless God tells you to. You picking up what I'm putting down? You see, as I picture it as Moses stood there with those elders, they were probably going, maybe going, what's up with him? And I can just picture Moses up there going, God has heard your prayer. Here will be water. And it says, water flowed from the rock. Now, I want you to pause for just a moment because I want you to get in your mind a picture of what this must have looked like. And then I'm going to tell you what your picture is. Y'all's picture is way too small. Y'all's picture is like he went up there and there's a little stream of water coming out like a water fountain and everybody's going, get a nice, refreshing, cool drink. Now, I want to remind you of something that I reminded you of just a minute ago. There were 2 to 3 million people. Could you imagine being in line at the water fountain and you were number 3 millionth in line? This was not some little drizzle of water that was coming out of a rock. This was enough water coming out of this rock to provide water for 2 to 3 million people and their livestock. Is God's power and might getting bigger for you now? I mean, there was probably some people sitting there watching this water run for hours going, where's that coming from? You see, some of us are standing on a rock and God's telling us to strike the rock and you're going to get water. And we're going, you don't know what you're talking about. Water don't come from rocks. Strike the rock. Be faithful. Listen, have expectations of God. We don't expect things from God anymore except selfish things. Do I expect God to move? Yes, I do. Do I anticipate God moving? Yes, I do. Am I disappointed when I don't see it? Yes, I am. But I also realize, too, that God called Israel a stiff-necked people. It's not in vain. It's interesting as we get down there. I mean, you can imagine that after this takes place, all the people are happy, they're watered, they're refreshed, and all is right with the world, right? Wouldn't you think that? Look down there at verse 7. It says, and so he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah. Okay, does anybody know what that term Massa is? Tempted, a place of trying. You know, that's literally what that was. Does that sound like something that's nice and kind? No. It was a place of trying. You could almost live with that, right? Well, that's cool. There was a trial here. We could call it that. But tempting. And they were tempting God. That's what you got to understand. God had told them, I will take care of you. Not only did God tell them, I'll take care of you, God had shown them he would take care of them. And yet, they still didn't trust him. They still didn't have faith in him. And before we get too crazy and everybody going, amen, we're the same way. How many times in our lives has God proven himself faithful and yet we're not trusting him? Are we at a place of tempting? But then he said, not only was it Massa, it was also Meribah, which means what? Quarreling. Contention, if you got a King James with notes. Quarreling. Arguing with God. How many of us are arguing with God? If you are, let me make a 100% sure prediction. If you are quarreling with God, you will lose. And you will lose horribly. Don't do it. There's been times in my life, in my previous career, that there were people who wanted to quarrel with me as a police officer. And their quarrel was going to go beyond verbal. And I would always make a statement. It is your will against mine. You see all this stuff around my belt? You will lose. I will win. Let me make you a promise. God is going to win. He is going to win. You're better just to follow him. You know, hey, it's okay to ask questions when God says, Roy, I want you to do this. You know what my natural inclination is? Okay. Why? And then God at times gives me the answer that I always hated growing up that I would occasionally get from my parents. Because I told you so. How many of y'all got that? Didn't that irritate you? Do this. Why? Because I said so? Yeah, we need to get to the point in our walk with the Lord when God says, I want you to do this, and we go, why? And he says, because I said so. We go, okay, and go do it. Because you'll win every time when you do that. See, he proved himself faithful to Israel over and over and over again. And they had forgotten about that, hadn't they? Right? Y'all with me? They had forgotten his faithfulness. Okay, I know why some of y'all don't want to answer me, because you know what's coming next. Has God not been faithful in your life over and over and over and over again, and yet we get to the point where we don't trust him? Lord, I don't know about that. God's like, have I not taken care of you? Am I going to take care of you? I told you I would. You're my children. And the only way that you can be free from the bondage is through Christ Jesus, period. Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. And that is only through Jesus, only through him. Them two places, the name of them, not a real good name. Now, I want to fast forward because I'm running out of time. Because over in, Numbers, it's Numbers chapter 20. You can just jot this down, don't turn there. But Numbers chapter 20, verses 1 through 13, Israel finds themselves in the same situation that we're reading about today. They don't have water again. They go to Moses again. Except this time there was a problem, wasn't it? Another problem. God led Moses, but he told him, he said, go up to the rock and speak to the rock. What did he do in our passage today? He struck the rock. I want to caution you about something here. God don't always do the same thing the same way twice. In fact, he's never done it the same way twice in my life. I don't know about yours. You got to pay attention. See, Moses remembered what had happened before. He went up there and he struck the rock. And God this time told him, go speak to the rock. He went up and struck the rock just like last time. Now, let me point this out. God was faithful. God provided the water, but God got all over Moses for that, didn't he? He said, you didn't listen. You didn't pay attention. In fact, he actually didn't get to go into the promised land because of this. He got to see it. Could you imagine? That's almost like, oh, man. God said, you know that promised land that you've been leading these stiff-necked people to for so long? Come here, I want to show it to you. Look, there it is. Get a good look at it. You're not going to get to enjoy it, but doesn't it look good? Isn't it everything I said, land that flows with milk and honey and everything else, but this is as far as you get because of your disobedience. How many of us are in danger of missing the promised land that God has for us because of our unfaithfulness? And it doesn't have to be big, flat out, flashy, open sin. It can be as simple as disobedience, just simple disobedience. Last time I checked, God's been faithful in my life and in yours. And God will continue to be faithful in my life and in yours when we trust Him. But folks, we got to trust Him. And He's going to put us on some things that are impossible for us to do so that He can do them through us and for us. And if we can handle it, then I'll just go ahead and say it like this. It's not a God thing. God things are things you can't do without Him. If I told y'all next week, here's y'all's project, I want you to go find me a rock, look wherever you want to, bring it in here, and I want you to wring some water out of it. How many of y'all think you'd pass? Some of y'all be going, I ain't gonna do it, that's stupid. Well, you're saying the same things to God. Did you get that? Are you understanding the parallel? I ain't doing that. That's dumb. I'm not going to tell my coworkers. My preacher told me to bring a rock in here and squeeze it in front of everybody. That's stupid, man. What's he doing? I think he's lost his cotton picking mind. See, I think that God's telling some of us to go out and squeeze some rocks. And we're going, I ain't doing that. That's dumb. You don't get water from rocks. Okay, you ready for this? You don't, but God does. And here's what I like. I like being the guy that God says, go over there and pick that rock up. Okay. Now hold it out. Like this? Yeah. All right, rotate your wrist 90 degrees. I wasn't good at math. Like this? Gotcha. Now squeeze it. And buckets of water come out of it. You know what? I like those times when I'm going. Isn't that cool? And see, I love it when people come and they sit back and they say, can you show me how to do that? See, the natural inclination is to say no. But the real answer is, yeah. Ask Him. Talk to Him. He'll teach you. And then when God gives you the answers to the questions, you know what most of the time they start with? Well, there's a book written about it. Read the book. Lord, I don't read that well. I read on like a third grade level. Get it on audio, man. You're living in a great time. I'm not an avid reader. I don't read well. Some of y'all know that. You've watched my Wednesday night stuff. But boy, you give me a tape, I can knock some serious chapters out then. We are living in the greatest age ever to be able to be something special for God. And yet we're sitting around waiting. I think there comes a time that we have to start doing. There's a friend of mine that I worked with when I was in college. He was older than me. He had already graduated from college. And he said God had called him to pastor a church. And as I worked with him, I watched God open doors. No, I watched God completely tear off sides of buildings. Because God would crack a door and he wouldn't see it. Then God would open it a little further and he wouldn't see it. And then God would pull it completely open. Then God would knock holes in the wall. And you know, I said, look, man, when are you going to stop doing this and get on with what God wants you to do as far as pastoring? Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord. I said, waiting on the Lord. Look, dude, I'm not in your life, but from my perspective, I just listened to a conversation you had with a church that called you to come preach at it and be their pastor, and you told them no to drive a school bus. What's the matter with you? He reminded me of the guy in the old joke where he said the floodwaters were coming up, and he said, he prayed, the man prayed, God save me. And a boat came by and the fellow said, jump in. He said, nope, not going to do it because God's going to save me. Fellow drives off, the water keeps on rising, and next thing you know, he's on the second story leaning out a window, and another boat comes by and says, jump in, fellow. He says, nope, I prayed to God, God's going to save me. He drives off, and the waters keep rising, and next thing you know, the guy's standing on the top of the chimney, and a fella flies over in a helicopter and drops a ladder down, and on the speaker he says, just grab a hold of the ladder and climb up, and we'll get you to safety. And the guy goes, no, I've prayed to God, and God's going to save me. The next thing you know, he wakes up seeing Jesus because he's drowned, and he looks at the Lord, and he says, Lord, I had faith in you that you were going to save me. Why didn't you save me? And God said, I sent you two boats and a helicopter. What more do you want? See, some of us are doing that. Look around you. See what it is that God wants in your life. That your life may not carry the names Massa and Meribah. That God is faithful is our lesson today. He has been. He will continue to be. As one of His children, are we trusting Him? Or are we like the rest of those in Israel who are wanting to stone Moses? I'm mad at you. By the way, their stubbornness cost them an extra 40 years and cost many of them their lives. You know what God said to them? God said, you know what? All of you who should have known better are going to die in the wilderness. The next generation that followed your idiotic leadership will go into the promised land. You won't go until every one of y'all that were naysayers are dead. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be that. I don't want to be the dead one. Now, don't get spiritual on me. Well, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Yeah. But I'd rather be obedient and be an instrument in His hand while I'm here, because Paul also said, whether in the body or out of the body, all I do to please Him. What journey and challenge is God putting in your life to send you on? Oh, it's going to be fun. But let me tell you what else it's going to be. It's going to be one of them five-point harness type rides. You know what a five-point harness is, don't you? You ever seen a race car driver? When they get in, they don't go and just pull the seatbelt across. Or they don't just do a lap belt. No, they got this thing comes over their head, and there's seatbelts coming around them and all that. And why do they do that? Because it could be a crazy ride. I like what I heard an older lady say one time. When she said this, she said, circumstance or situation that was going on, and I mean, she was just a real quiet grandma, the kind you love, you know, wasn't saying anything, and there was an argument that was taking place and going on, and everybody was just about needing some Tylenol because of the headache and the rising blood pressure, and all of a sudden she comes out with a story about going to the carnival, and of course everybody's looking at her like she's got three heads, like, well, that's relevant to what's going on. And she said, no, she said they had all kinds of rides. And she said they had the carousel, but they also had the roller coaster. And here's this little old grandma, and she said, you know what? She said, I rode the roller coaster over and over again because it was exciting and it was fun. She said, oh, the carousel was there, but all it did was go round and round and round. She said, but I wanted to ride where the excitement was. Then you could have heard a pin drop in the room because people got it. Let's not opt for the carousel when the roller coaster's there. How many of y'all hate roller coasters? You see where my hand is? I don't like them either. But you know what? This will be the best one you ever rode. What is God telling you in your personal life? What's he telling us corporately when it comes down to this? Who are we trying to stone? Quit trying to stone somebody and find out what God wants you to do. I promise you, God's not telling you to stone somebody. So if God's not telling you, who's telling you? Sometimes God has to smack us between the eyes to get our attention. You ever had somebody in your life like that you just finally had to just grab them by the face and say, "Listen to me"? If you're a teacher, you know what I'm talking about. Long before there was ever ADHD diagnosis, if you were like, "Listen, you hear? Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?" Sometimes God has to do that to us. Wouldn't it be better to just listen and act? Will you do that today? I ask our musicians to come forward and take their place as we begin our time of invitation. My question is simply this: have you trusted God? First of all, have you called on him to be your Savior? Yeah, I know that's not real popular language in a lot of churches today, but I still believe that Jesus is the answer. And if you want to fill out a card and hand it to me, fill out a card and hand it to me. But last time I checked, the Word said that if you deny, the Lord says, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven. Listen, if you want to contact us online, that's great. Let's get in touch. Let's sit down and talk. Let's stop this stuff and let's have a conversation about Jesus. Would you do that with me today? You can't go away from here and text Jesus. But I'll get you in touch with him. I'm not special. Anybody in here that's a believer can get you in touch with him. But will you take a stand for him today? He went to the cross, through the grave, and resurrected for you. Could you take a stand for him today? And it always behooves me to think about this, that people in church will say, "Well, I'm just embarrassed if I were to go down there and talk to you." Man, this is the easiest place in the world to do that. These are born-again believers who will be sitting there going, "Yeah." Take a step towards him. Listen, if you've never trusted him, and I don't mean did you go to church. I mean, have you called on him in fervent prayer and said, "Lord, I am a sinner. I need forgiveness, and I need a Savior, and Jesus is it." Y'all are like, "Well, that don't sound like a biblical prayer." It is one. Have you called on him? Have you asked him to come into your life as Savior? And it don't end there. That's just the beginning of the journey to grow in his grace. Are you doing that? Listen, if not, we want to talk with you. And by the way, since people are that way and since we have an online audience, if that's you, then I'm just going to ask you right where you are. Just bow your head and say, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive my sin. Save my soul. In Jesus' name, amen." Now listen, if you did that and meant it with every ounce of your being, the Lord heard your prayer. He's writing your name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you are a believer. But don't stop there. It's not checking the boxes. He wants you to grow in his grace and his strength through his Word. Let us know. Please, please let me know, so that we can sit down and we can celebrate with you. I can get you some information. It's not going to be one of them 97-pound Schofield reference edition, put your coat and tie on and go visit with us 97 hours a week. It's not that. It's that you might grow in God's Word and his grace. Man, it's a great journey. You'll love it, I promise. Give it a chance. But the ball's in your court right now. I said I still believe in an old-fashioned altar. Here's one. If the Lord has spoken to us today and you need to lay some things down here, then you come on down, lay them down. If you need to speak with me, I'm here. Whatever the circumstance may be, whatever God has spoken into your life today, will you act on it as we stand, as we sing our invitation hymn?
relationships with God. Don't let the door close on you. He's kicked it wide open. What will you do? You do it now. I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering. Father, today as we come to you, we are so grateful for the provision that you provide for each and every one of us. Lord, help us to always understand that we don't own anything. It all belongs to you. You have blessed us in the way of being good stewards with what you have so graciously bestowed upon us. Now, Father, here's a time for us to be faithful. It's a time to continue to worship by returning to you the tithe. And Lord, the offering as well, the tithe, which you've asked of us, the offering, anything over and above that. Lord, may we be found faithful. Thank you for a church who believes not just in giving, but in tithing. And Lord, all the wonderful things that have been able to be done because of that. Now, Lord, I pray that you would bless the gift as well as the giver as we continue to worship through tithes and offerings, and ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Out of here and get you to lunch. Birthdays this week. Sandy Stewart today. So be sure to give her some love. And Randy, you robbed the cradle, man. I tell you one thing. You married up. We love Sandy. She's celebrating a birthday today. Tuesday, Bonnie Ramba will be celebrating a birthday. Wednesday, Melinda White. And then Friday, our very own J.C. Williams will celebrate another pass around the sun. Let's give them all a hand, guys. If you send a card or give them a hug or what have you. But not only that, we have another special thing coming up on Thursday. Marcia and Ernie will celebrate another year of marital bliss together. And congratulations, you guys. I tell you, nowadays, I actually heard a guy say the other day, he said, yeah, it's my anniversary. And somebody said, well, really? I said, how long have you been married? And they said, well, this is our seventh anniversary. And they said, wow, you've been married that long? Like 7 years was a long time. And I guess in our society today, it really is. But nonetheless, congratulations to those having birthdays as well as Marcia and Ernie on their anniversary. Don't forget, there's a lot of stuff that's going on around here today. Building and grounds meeting is at 3:30 in room 202. Our monthly business meeting is tonight, immediately after the worship service. You know, we say 7-ish. It just depends on, you know, what time we get done with the Bible study in here. Then usually it's just a few minute break, and then we'll go right into our church conference. Sunday evening choir practice, 5 o'clock. We're still on target for that, okay? Awana starts tonight. We kick off another year of Awana. That starts tonight at 5:30. We still need some volunteers to help us out there. If you can volunteer, you can see Jim or Jana. And yes, sir, Jim. Okay, finance meeting in the conference room for a few minutes right after I say amen, right? Immediately. Finance people, chop, chop, okay? Jimmy will head y'all over there in just a second. So that's going on in just a few minutes. Ladies' tea, September the 25th from 3 to 5 p.m. If you need more information, Maury can and Carol. Today's the last day to sign up, so call, text, do whatever you do, let somebody know. That is going to be on the September 25th from 3 to 5 p.m. And then every Wednesday there is a men's fellowship breakfast, or you can call it brunch, at 10 o'clock at the Olympic Restaurant in Colfax. So if you can make that, I'm sure the guys would love to have you over there. It's just a wonderful, wonderful time of fellowship that that they have together. And of course, obviously, there's food. So with that, I'm going to let Dave come and see us off in prayer. He can let you know how we're going to do the missions offering or anything else that he has that I have forgotten. But a lot going on today.
In relationship to the missions offering, there are offering envelopes on this pedestal table here. And also out in the foyer, there's also a brochure that's got some information about North Carolina Baptist Missions. And so we'd like for you to pick that up and read that material. Also, we had one birthday that was not in our bulletin today, and that's Jeff Williard, the guy that played the solo in that choir special. And Maury's mom has a birthday this week. Today. How about that? Okay, don't forget to wish happy birthday to some folks. We'll be taking that offering next Sunday. Be sure to get your offering envelopes and that information. It gives you an opportunity to remember all week long and pray about what you're going to do. Let me lead you in a word of prayer, please. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege we have of being in your house and studying your word and worshiping you through song. God, as we go from this place, help us to be a witness for you. Help us to take what we know, what we've learned from your word, what we've experienced in this hour with you, Lord. Help us to take it and share it in the world, that others might know Jesus. We ask it in his name. Amen.